question about the wind. And so if you increase the energy rate, it will exit the thermal gas later, and so you get a smaller red balance. And so this does the red balance results. As you can see, there's two important factors. One is the which is roughly turned out of more inputs, while the
inverse proportional to this annihilation rate, which is basically determined by the particle physics. And the miracle is really just saying that if the wimp is of weak scale mass and the coupling is a weak coupling, and then roughly it's of picobar, and so that gave you 0.1, which is what consistent with the observation. And really, more precisely, you know, if you really stick into using the Z mass and the weak coupling, it really gives you actually more than picobar. It's actually 100 magnitude larger. And so this miracle is really just kind of very rough miracle, and we should keep in mind that. So a leading candidate. A leading theory that gives the WIMP is a supersymmetry, low scale supersymmetry. The nice thing is that this theory is that you can have an R parity, which is nice that if you impose R parity, you forbid proton decay, but it also guarantees you
the torr magnitude issue is not really an issue, right? Because you don't expect to plug MZ, you expect to plug maybe something more like a few hundreds of GV.
Yeah, but there's still kind of at least an order of magnitude kind of discrepancy. So that's related to the tuning, you know, in if you really do the MSSN and then do some kind of issues like that tuning. So the R parity guarantees the stability of the LSP, so that it could be a WIMP, and also the low scale supersymmetry is supposed to solve the hierarchy problem. So it naturally relates to the weak scale, and so that's make sure that there's it actually satisfies the two conditions. So it's a natural WIMP. So, and as I mentioned before, this miracle is within order of magnitude. So if you really look at the scan of MSN primary space, there's it's actually not so easy. Sometimes need some particular enhancement mechanism, or so the rock density you get is sometimes too large, sometimes too small. So, so I'll talk about that later. And as a dark matter candidate, so we not only need to get the right thermal abundance, but also there's other experiments that is actually probing the dark matter stem model interactions. And so, if depending on the way you look at, it could relate to indirect detection and the direct detection and the collider. So the most stringent bond now is coming from the direct detection experiment. So there's increased tension with the direct detection experiment over the years. So so for example, if we look at the 2005, the bond on the on the scattering with the nucleon. The spin-independent cross-section is 10 to minus 40, around below 10 to minus 42 at that time, which was given by the CDMS experiment. And at 2009, this upper limit has been improved, which is below 10 to 43, which is an order of magnitude smaller, roughly. And just last year, last spring, that Z900 that they released the results, and they of course, they didn't see anything. They didn't see evidence for dark matter, so they set a bound. So that bound is slightly below 10 to minus 44. So given this increased bounds from the upper limit on the spin-independent cross section, so that the parameter space allowed for the dark matter in NSSM is strongly constrained, and of course the other experiment like indirect detection, there's also some bounds, but not yet strong enough, and also in some cases it's strong, but in NSSM case there's not the most stringent, and also the collider is the LHC is starting probing, but not yet have any constraint yet. So now let's look at the Higgs exchange. So for direct detection. So suppose the coupling of Higgs to dark matter of this type, which G is the coupling, and this leads to the four Fermi operator like this. So here, letter M is the the Higgs coupling to the nucleon, and MN is the nucleon mass, and this that is weak VAF, and we can easily estimate the spin-independent cross section, which is given by this thing, and which is 10 to minus 2, 10 to minus 1 centimeter square, and this is a way much larger than the Z 900 bound. So that's the simple way to understand the constraint.
Wait, from the mass that goes into the Higgs exchange with the nucleon is not the nucleon mass. It has to do with what precisely the Higgs coupled to in the quarks and the gluon.
Yeah,
and
that's
there
right.
There is a suppression.
Yeah, so the other thing is in this parameter, yeah.
And so what's the size of lambda in this parameterization?
Here we just kind of do.
So if you plug in one, I don't think that's quite right. If you plug in lambda n equals.
Yeah, when we do it, I think we have to take a more careful calculation to, but roughly you can take. I think I take one to get this, but okay.
Yeah, my recollection is that when you put in realistic values mm-hmm. for the nucleon coupling, it's close, very much in the neighborhood of the xenon bound.
Right, so it's because it's like lambda usually mm-hmm. is not one, it's like 0.1 or so.
So here okay. you have the limit of a very heavy dark matter piece because the dark matter mass is not appearing here.
Here is a Higgs exchange, and dark matter mass, I mean, it's
we
not.
Usually have the reduced mass in there, right?
Yeah, reduced mass is basically, it's here, yeah. Okay. Right. It's hiding here, yeah, right. So this is a naive, estimation, but of course that
I think usually the reason why you get those exclusions is because there is mixing with the Z, and the Z, mm-hmm. the exchange with the Z gives you a very large cross section. Because there is no small parameter that making it small, right? So you basically
yeah,
the small parameter is how much unit Torino is Higgs xeno and
right. So here just kind of doing order of magnitude estimate just to take for example to what you naively expect, but of course that it depends on detailed couplings and. So you're asking whether there's an alternative candidate of WINP. We are particularly interested in SUSY, and we want to looking beyond the MSSM, and we are interested to have a WINP weak scale LSP and the correct rug abundance, but also have suppressed direct detection rate. So we know that the Goldstone boron is a couple derivatively to other particles. So if LSP is similar to Goldstone boron, then there will be additional suppression due to the derivative coupling. And so this could bring down So this suppression could bring it down to the correct direct detection rate. And so as we will see later, that this is the momentum. So it's because of derivative coupling, so it's proportional to the momentum of the dark matter particle. So that's, later we will see that it's really proportional to M chi, the dark matter mass, and the electric weak valve over the breaking scale of that the global symmetry. So we'll talk about that later. And just so additional motivation is coming from, so we originally motivated from the other models that have the Barry-Higgs this type, and these are models that were done by these kind of these people, and the basic picture of these models is that they have they add a global symmetry and broken at around the TV scale or slightly lower, and they have a Goldstone pseudo Goldstone boron, which is roughly in the 10 GeV ish. Coupled directly to Higgs, and if Higgs, if one of the Higgs get a valve, that leads to Higgs AA coupling. So that's lead to a decay of Higgs to two pseudo scalar, and that, and then these guy can decay to jets. So that leads to Barry Higgs type signals. And So typically these are very hard to find because it's the jet final states. And so we were really thinking that, was asking ourselves that the fermionic partner, of the pseudo Goldstone boron, whether that is, can that be RSP? And that's how we are trying to build up this model. And so,
if I understand it right, the super partner of the Goldstone boson in the limit that F is very large compared to the supersymmetry breaking scale is derivatively coupled, right? That's the statement.
Sorry?
The statement that the Goldstone fermion is derivatively coupled is a statement that applies in the limit that F is very large compared to the supersymmetry breaking scale.
Yeah.
But is it for 500 GeV, what's your supersymmetry breaking scale
though? In this case, yeah, a little bit. So the F is roughly, we're considering 500 GeV. Of course, that a little is kind of close to the pseudo breaking scale. I guess that's what you're concerned, right? That,
yeah, but is it going to be there that it's off pseudo breaking terms that
I think that for that particular sector, the pseudo breaking could be smaller for the Goldstone sector. So I think that's the case in that paper. So still okay. Yeah, I think that I'm going to address this, later on. There's still there's some model dependence there, so it actually could split the Goldstone multiplet with the mass scale, like roughly given by the soft mass, soft breaking mass. But in some cases, you could actually make some of splitting, like the Goldstone fermion splitting relative to Goldstone boron is small, and so. So that could be.
There is independently of how exactly you break the supersymmetry and communicate it.
Right.
How heavy is your super partner? So the thing that you're going to call dark matter, how heavy will it be?
So you're asking how heavy? So
the partner of A is going to be the dark matter?
Yeah, we are trying to see whether that's possible. So I haven't shown you yet, but.
But roughly, what is the mass of that?
With the mass?
Yeah.
Yeah. So eventually we will talk about to be 100 GeV ish.
Right. So and then the Suzy breaking effect, no matter how you communicate, has to be roughly 100 GeV.
No, Suzy breaking can be higher, can be larger, but.
No, for what matters is what is the Suzy breaking for that sector, right? Because that will determine what is the soft. The soft terms for this sector.
Right, that's right.
It leaves the question is basically whether the soft terms will destabilize this derivative decoupling, right?
Yeah, I know your question, but as I said, that there's a model dependence there, and so in some case that you could have this fermion and the splitting between the fermion and the Goldstone boron is actually smaller than the soft breaking mass. That's what I'm going to talk about later. So at this point, it's not obvious whether you could get it, make it an LSP. And that's what we were wondering before that. So hope I'll answer your question at a few other later slides.
So if I master the Goldstone boson, do you break explicitly the symmetry, or to give a master the Goldstone boson,
right,
you break the symmetry, the global symmetry explicitly, or
spontaneously.
Spontaneously.
Yeah.
But then
that's why there's a Goldstone.
Yeah,
Oh yeah, we actually add the explicit breaking.
Okay.
In the end.
Tie that to supersymmetry break? No.
That we kind of just kind of building from bottom up, so we just see what we need to give a mass, and we don't have a complete like a model UV model yet.
And
so
that the mass is around 10 GeV is just to satisfy the constraints.
For this model, yeah. Basically, they're interested in bury the Higgs, so anything that the supergoldstone boson less than half of Higgs mass, that would be the most interesting. And that's actually what they found, because it's usually there are a couple of different mechanisms to give mass to supergoldstone boson, and that typically easy to get this order.
Okay.
So that's the Barry Higgs model, but not not the particular model we'll talk about for dark matter. So now let's just building up from the bottom up. So we just look at the Goldstone multiplet in SUSY. So we just complete the so basic idea is that we have a global U1 for simplicity. We can the global U1 broken at SUSY limit. And for example, if I have a super potential like this, and so these are all scalars and S and bar. So the U1 living in N and N bar, so they have charge, for example, 1 minus 1. And so you can write the potential, and you can find that the N will get a VAF, and that breaks the U1. And so there's a Goldstone boson related to that, and because of the supersymmetry, so there's the fermion partner, and there's also a Goldstone, because the scalar is a complex, so it must have another real scalar. We call it a Goldstone. So there's actually a kind of map with the another set of terminology, like the axion, axino, and axion. The difference here, we are interested in the breaking scale of TV, and not 10 to 15 or higher. So they fit into this Kylo supermultiplet. And so we're using the notation S for Goldstone boson, A for Goldstone boson, and chi for Goldstone fermion, right? So we want to write down the most general low energy effective theory for that Goldstone multiplet. So how we write this? So basically, we know that there's the U1 symmetry, right? So which is corresponding to a shift in the A. So by a constant, real constant, in terms of this capital, the supermultiplet, it's a shift in my imaginary part, and this is exactly the U1 symmetry. So the Lorentz Lagrangian, you can write down must preserve this symmetry, and so the combination so the Lagrangian must in the superpotential or Kähler potential must be in this form, but as we know, that the superpotential is the holomorphic, so you cannot write that. So the superpotential must be zero, and the Kähler potential is a real function, so it must be the function of a plus a dagger. Right. So the simple example with this charge assignment. And with the canonical kinetic term, and this is you can write a UV theory like this that has a U1 global symmetry, and then At the IR, when you integrate out these heavy degree freedom that of mass F, then you're left with, you can actually work out the Kähler potential, not the potential. So in IR, it's given by this. So more generally, you could, if you have many fields of charge on the U1, that you could parameters like this. And they could have even have different VAF for different color field. And the overall scale for the Goldstone multiplier is given by this combination. And so this is the simplest example that we can work. But now let's don't worry about the detail expression model, because there could be many different, very very different. And so we were kind of trying to be general, and we trying to analyze the most generic effective theory. So this is the supersymmetric linear sigma model, and which is written over 30 years and ago. And this Lagrangian is given by these three pieces. So let me explain a little bit. So the first line is these are the kinetic term, and these are Kähler metrics. And these are basically the two derivatives of the Kähler potential. And the second term, the second line, the first term is the current Goldstone current interaction, and this is the full Fermi interaction. So we can, for example, so the K double prime is basically this. And we can do a tail expansion in terms of A plus A dagger over F. So we all expand like in this series. And we keep in the leading order. So basically, so there's higher order terms. So this is a leading order contribution, so which is coupled to Goldstone multiplet. And the B1 is you can calculate, it's like this. And so for the first line, the interaction first line, it gives the coupling to these couplings, dark matter, to the Goldstone boson. So all these three diagrams. And this diagram is particularly important, that it gives coupling to dark matter to Goldstone boson. So we will see that later, that this coupling gave the annihilation of dark matter. So for that interaction, we can work out do one more derivative. We can get the leading contribution is B1 over F. And for the full Fermion interaction, it's the leading order is a B1 square over F square. So the B1 is an important parameter that so at this level we just assume as order one, and there's also mixing with the stem model sector through the Kähler potential, and because the so it's really the mixing with the Higgs, because don't have a with the scalar combination of the Higgs. So you can write down, for example, the Kähler potential of this form. So 1 over F, A plus A dagger, HUHD, for example. So that gives you a term interaction like this. So it's if you take one of the Higgs to its the VAF, so that will be electroweak VAF over F, and you get two derivative, DSDH.
Mm-hmm.
So you not the phase of A. It's actually so A. It's actually the shifter in the A, not a phase. I have it in the previous slide.
Oh, okay.
So this is already in a non-linear representation. So it's not the UV theory. That in UV theory, it's a phase. But in the low energy, it's just a shift. So given this, so this is actually a kinematic thing between the Goldstone boson and the Higgs, right? So once you diagonalize the kinetic term, and that will introduce a mixing between the S and H. So that would lead to this coupling, which is V over F squared, and a Higgs here. So this is basically just through the kinetic mixing. And so you have a coupling between dark matter, and a Higgs. Is that clear? And also, we'll see that this is important because that would appear in the direct detection diagrams. And there's also a fermionic kinetic mixing between the chi and dark matter and Higgs xeno. And that also suppressed by V electroweak valve over F. And it also depends on the Higgs xeno mass. So we'll assume that mu is large, and so this mixing would not be very important. And if it really mixed, then it wouldn't be that different from the normal MSSM, because if there's a large mixing with the Higgs xeno, then right. So we're interested in the case when the mu is large, and so it's really like the LSP is really like a Goldstone fermion, mostly Goldstone fermion. So, and so we're restricted to that case. And we can also introduce other interaction, for example, from the anomaly. So there's a low energy, you can write things like GGDU, and in the supersymmetric version, you write AWW, so that when you work that out, you get a coupling, this coupling, and also you get a coupling between the Goldstone fermion to this necessary could be a Gay Geno, for example. In our case, would be a Gay Gluino. So a coupling to Gluino and a gluon. So that's actually giving you this. So this is for this coupling, and so this is just a Goldstone to glue, for example. And in the UV theory, you can just this anomaly can you can easily add it just by hand, and you add some heavy fermions that couple to that carries the U1 charge, and they have. You can have this coupling, and this can lead to these triangle diagrams lead to this anomaly interactions. So if the all fermion mass are equal, then we can get we can calculate this coupling. This coupling is basically the alpha over 8 pi. Q is the charge of the of that fermion, heavy fermion, and this is a number of copies of this fermions. So the thing is that this coupling is suppressed by this coupling. If the SU3 the color, then it could be important, but for the U1 for the U1Y, that's very small. So the story so far, we have told you that there's the U1 which is broken spontaneously in a supersymmetric limit, and we can write down we can consider the Goldstone supermultiplet and can build the effective theory for that. So in the UV theory, you can write this mixing and the anomaly in this form. So that's what just a reminder of previous slide. So just a summary of the interactions. So we can have dark matter to couple to Goldstone boson, and also dark matter to Goldstone boson. So this is determined by this B1 over F, which one over one of F suppressed. And this coupling dark matter to Higgs is all through the mixing with the mixing between the S and the H. So that's suppressed by the electro weak valve over F square. And there's also this anomaly coupling. And once you integrate out this gluino, then you can also introduce this for this dark matter to gluon operator.
Why do you not induce mixing from the SHH operator?
What? SHH?
SHH operator will also induce mixing between H and S.
S and H. That's right. So
the mixing you discussed is all kinetic mixing.
Yeah, but the problem is, the thing is that the Goldstone, when you integrate out in heavy state, that there's no super potential for the Goldstone multiplate. So you can't introduce the mixing in the super potential. So they eventually all transform into the Kähler potential if you think that way.
Oh, I see. So your basis is
so you can do a nonlinear redefinition of your fields. So it's not so obvious, but as I showed before, there's no super potential. So the general feature is that I want to point out, even though there's many interactions and and I also didn't mention all of the interactions. But the major the interaction that will be interested is the dark matter. So there's the interaction I dark matter Goldstone boson, and that gave you annihilation of this annihilation of dark matter and to Goldstone boson. And there's a direct detection, the dark matter. They couple to S and S mix with H, so and then couple to quark. So also there's a non-standard Higgs decay, which would be interesting from the point of view of LHC physics. All right, now let's discuss the Suzy breaking, because so far we haven't really talked about the Suzy breaking in that setup. And hope that would address the question, early question. So until now, the entire massless, but Suzy breaking can give mass to S and chi. So we can add soft Suzy breaking. Assume all the soft breaking will globally symmetric, will not break the U1, and then we can get the Goldstone fermion, which is in the linear where we can parameters like this in the linearly. You can, it's this combination of these fields which charge under this U1. So I don't have time to really work out the details, but just give you the results, and the U1 invariance of W, the superpotential, will immediately give you this relation, and that. Because the Wij is determining the fermion mass, right? And so that gave you the mass for the Goldstone fermion, which is given by the F terms of these Kylo fields with charge on the U1. So this is the sum of I and divided by the decay constant of the Goldstone. So there's a result by Tom Varkis and Weiler, basically saying that, essentially saying if I equals zero, then vanish for all the U1 charge field, then this chi remain massless. So that's the criterion. You know, if we really want to have a small Goldstone fermion mass, then we have to suppress the Fi over F. So let's just comment on why it's very, very easy to get F turn, even though Suzy is breaking globally supersymmetric. So this condition does not automatically imply the Fi equals zero. So after you adding soft terms, there will be some F turn will get non-zero. So one way to look at, for example, through the through the mixing with the hidden sector, through the breaking fields, X, for example. Suppose X is a supersymmetric 3D breaking field in the hidden sector, and that get a VAV and also F turn. So for example, if there's this high dimension operator which gave the soft mass, soft breaking mass, that also lead to a mixing between this Fi and Fx. So that leads to a shift of the original Fi before you add in the soft breaking. So that leads to a shift, which is you can calculate, which is basically this. So assuming even though originally, before you adding soft breaking, this Fi is zero because it's supersymmetric, that still give you a shift, a non-zero F term. In this case, it would be so that gave a mass of a Goldstone fermion, and that's determined by the VAV of the X over the M, which is the mediation scale. So if you look at that, that's possible that if X is much smaller than the scale, messenger scale, for example, then you could have a small Goldstone fermion. All right, so this is just an example, but we don't have a complete UV UV theory that, so this is just one quick argument for why you can make a Goldstone fermion small, mass small. So,
same theory on Spirit. If I wrote down something like X, A plus A dagger squared.
Right.
And it looks like that's going to be the kind of thing that would give me a mass for pi, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the same thing, yeah. Which operator are you talking about? A plus A dagger square?
Yeah.
Spirion plus the A plus A dagger.
Times.
Okay. Yeah, that does give a mass for the, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about two things, right? One, first thing is X times the A plus A dagger square, something like that, right?
Okay.
So you're saying that gave us fermion mass.
Well, there's this issue of the direct fermion mass for pi, also
mixing with
pi and other things.
Oh, the mixing thing that I mentioned before, there's a mixing, but.
So you had a supersymmetric mixing in the kinetic term.
Right.
So there's also going to be a mass term to come with a supersymmetric. That's the issue of derivative couplings versus non derivative
right.
couplings, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I agree that there would be these terms, yes. I think that at some next slides, I'm basically saying that at this point, we don't have a kind of a very complete picture of how to, in general, what's most generally the condition you can get to suppress it, the splitting. But we're just saying that it depends on the detail of the 3D breaking. So it may be for some models that you can construct with small splitting that the M chi is much smaller than the soft mass. And it's not completely clear. I mean, it's not still something we should work on. At this stage, we kind of just stick to the, from the more like a phenomenology point of view, we're just assuming that can be achieved. Yeah, either these are not generated or somehow just by symmetry reason or not generated, right? Or in this case, in this case you can tune, for example, for to build a particular model, so the breaking model. mediation models that such. So, yeah, we can talk more later on, but that's actually a tricky thing that we have been spending a lot of time. So let me summarize the mass spectrum. So as we said, that the Goldstone can be can remain massless up to the U1 breaking, explicit breaking term. If you add that, then that would give you a small mass. And we don't explicitly, we consider that, but I don't have time to talk about that explicit breaking. And the Goldstone fermion, as I said, that's if that can be achieved, then the Goldstone fermion can be LSP, and so that depends on the detail of the 3D breaking, and we hope to elucidate this point later in the future work. So for the Goldstone, they can get mass from just a soft mass. Go ahead. Oh, 5 minutes? Okay. So this gives this pattern. So the parameters that we're studying. So in the rest slides, I'm just looking at the phenomenology. Basically, look at the dark matter abundance and the direct detection, and some of the LHC results. So we vary these parameters. So these are breaking scale mass, and these other one couplings, and these anomaly coefficient. And so these are a range of parameters that we are interested in. And they are motivated from the some examples. And the important thing is the annihilation. This diagram I've already shown you, is that this is the so it's given by this operator. You can do integration by parts that give you M chi, which is a proportion to the mass over the breaking scale. And if you work out the annihilation cross section, and we find it's a P wave suppressed, and so the result is so this is from the coupling, and this is is a P wave suppression factor, which is roughly the freeze up temperature over the M chi, which is 1/20-30-ish. So that gave you a pico bound. So this is a leading diagram, and then. And also, there will be additional diagram from these anomaly couplings, and also subleading diagrams narrowly to Higgs and A and Higgs. So this diagram is S wave, but itself is suppressed by the anomaly coupling, which is small. And so this is only up to like 1/3 in the maximum case. So this is this is the result that we have for. The contours for the correct red abundance, and these line only keeping the leading contribution. And
what about mm-hmm. through Higgs to two Higgs. Pi channel Higgs.
Yeah.
To two Higgs.
That I think is suppressed by this Kaka Higgs coupling, so it's already suppressed. So we must have. I think we did it in a subleading contribution. So we sum over all these contributions. So this vertex really, I think, is hiding the Higgs or the big Higgs as well.
Well, I mean, this one has a different parametrics in that diagram, right? This one has the 1/f. I don't know if it's the same parameters. This one is
what
just suppressed by 1/f.
This one? Yeah, but there will be additional mixing parameter there, so it's not just naive dimension analysis. Yeah, and this that dashed line is actually corresponding to if you include the subleading contribution. So we can see that for dark matter mass around like 100 GV ish, you can with this coupling B1 of order one, you can get the correct red abundance, and the important one of the feature is that this. Annihilation rate is proportional to M chi, and it's not the usual way, it's 1/m chi. So let me go speed up. And so direct detection, there are two operators that contribute, which is chi by chi, this through anomaly. And this is also through the Higgs the mixing with the Higgs. And this is suppressed by M chi, the electroweak valve over F square. So this is gave a natural suppression that this part is the same as the usual argument that I gave for the Higgs mediated direct detection rate. And so we have additional factor here. So that gave you 10 to minus 4 suppression. And so that leads to a number which is comparable with the xenon limit. So that we did a scan for different F. So we find that most of the points are consistent with direct bounds that line below, nearly below the xenon bound. So for the indirect detection, very quick. So for Fermi, the bound we always obtain always like a factor of 10 below the current limit, for both the line search and the diffuse gamma ray search, and also for Pamela, the antiproton. So it's very much dependent on the parameter, the propagating parameter. So in the maximum case, it could be. Near the very close to the data, but we were expecting somewhere in between.
Why do you get the annihilation to gamma?
You mean asking this? Okay. So finally, I want to mention the non-standard Higgs decay that could be interesting that can modify the Higgs decay. So in the low F 500 GeV, the A Higgs decay to AA could be very interesting, like 60%. In other case, when the MA M chi is very degenerate, then because the M chi the Gaussian fermion is light, so the Higgs can also decay to this dark matter. So this is the prospects at the LHC. So you can directly produce these dark matter, and this is the most likely you can search for this by these ISR jets. There's a lot of work on this, and for our models, most likely for these operators are too much suppressed, so they are not going to probe from the LHC. But maybe this through this light axion light Goldstone could be interesting, and also there's a decay and cascade decay could be somewhat interesting, but very model dependent. Finally, we might wondering why can we have a Goldstone fermion around 10 GeV? Just from the possibility, So it might be interesting that because if not the LSP, if it is its Goldstone fermion is the NLSP, then if the Graphene is LSP, then it will be kind of interesting. So I don't have time to talk about it. So conclusion. So the minimal SUSY dark matter is a squeeze by direct detection. So we add a global U1 and to break it spontaneously, and we can get an axion-like, axino-like dark matter, but with a TV scale, and it has the annihilation rate is. Can be compatible. We can get a correct relative balance, and also direct detection is suppressed. So I think that's all for my talk, and thank you for your attention. For annihilation, you not necessarily bring down. It's not so obvious. The comparison with the annihilation cross-section compared to the usual annihilation, you know, it's not so obvious that. But for direct detection, there's a factor which is simply just a factor suppression which is given by this. So you can see here that's the one that brings down the direct detection rate. But for annihilation, this relation is not so obvious that the relation is not simply just a suppression. And it has a bit strange dependence on the chi mass. And so even for smaller chi mass, actually have smaller annihilation rate and so have higher rec mass. Which?
The annihilation diagrams?
Annihilation?
Yeah. So I'm still a little confused about it. Kai age, the 3-point coupling?
Yeah.
How does that go?
How the
Kai age?
You mean the coupling?
Yeah.
Let me go back to Kai age. So basically, something about this. So the V over F squared. So there's a natural weak valve. There's derivative here.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. So when you can convert this to M chi. So really, it's M chi mu over F squared. And in fact, there's.
But that's fine. So you have, you're saying you basically have 100 square divided by 500 square?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah. And also there's a suppression.
Because you also get resonance too, right?
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, so
there's a dominance thing that, the resonance thing, we kind of, so that's not our, the main, so it's already a very narrow region, right, in the mass, so when you have the resonance, right? So that's not particularly our focus, so. right.
Okay.
Yeah, there might be other regions that that could have get an enhancement, it's too complicated. I think we're focusing on the main diagrams that are essential to this mechanism. This.
All right. Well, let's thank the speaker again.
All right.